Everything is more expensive these days. With inflation rising, Medicare beneficiaries living on a fixed income are concerned about increasing costs. Make your Medicare dollars go further by picking the right plan. Start by looking for a plan that gives you more. For example, many Medicare Advantage plans include dental, vision, and hearing benefits, while Original Medicare doesn't. Learn more about plan costs beyond premiums, such as deductibles, co-pays, and drug coverage. Find that right plan for you. Visit UHCMedicareHealthPlans.com.
Cadillac is an iconic American brand for a reason. Not just because they've been around for 120 years, but because it's a brand that pushes the limits. And they're doing it again with the all-electric Cadillac Lyriq. Meticulously crafted, fiercely original, boldly electric. It's an EV as uncompromising as you are. The all-electric Cadillac Lyriq. Be magnificent, be electrifying, be iconic. Order your Lyriq at Cadillac.com. 2023 Lyriq orders are full, but go to Cadillac.com and complete a pre-order for model year 24 to be among the first to order a model year 24 when available.
What up? It's Dramos. You may know me from the recap on LA TV. Now I've got my own podcast, Life as a Gringo, coming to you every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll be talking real and unapologetic about all things life, Latin culture, and everything in between from someone who's never quite fit in. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, and we tell stories about everything here on this show, including your story. Send them to OurAmericanStories.com. They're some of our favorites. Dustin Black is a group creative director for an ad agency in Minneapolis, Minnesota. In 2007, he published The Book of Spam, a most glorious and definitive compendium of the world's favorite canned meat. It was a collaboration with his advertising partner at the time, Dan Armstrong, when they worked for Hormel as advertisers. Shortly after the book was published, it was internationally recognized and distributed. Here is Dustin Black with the story of Spam.
Right off the bat, it was a lot of interesting. You'd be going to work and you'd pull over and call a Korean radio show or something like that to talk about it. You know, what's great about Spam, and I think why it had the appeal, is it's got that, it's been around for forever and everybody has a story about it. Like there's nobody in the world that you can't sort of like spark up a conversation around Spam. You know, any corner of the globe, there's an experience with it. I was on production with Tim Gunn a couple years ago, and he and I bonded over Spam stories growing up because that was part of his like heritage. And I mean, Spam is fascinating, and I think that what Hormel maybe doesn't even get as much credit for as they should is sort of revolutionizing the meat process or the meat packing process. Spam itself is a result of 100 years of technology of trying to preserve meat to get it shelf stable for longer periods of time. And strangely enough, like Napoleon, when he was moving his armies, was really fascinated with how do I feed these armies through really cold Russian winters and keep them fed, and they're getting tired of salted and dried out food. So he started playing around, and some of his scientists, I guess you can call them, with packing meat in glass jars and putting fat on top of it. And they would boil it for an hour. And that boiling was basically an early version of pasteurization. And from there, it went to cans, metal, thick metal cans. And it got to the point where the cans were larger and heavier than the meat itself. And so it wasn't very easy to transport. It was very difficult to open. And there's stories of the war when they would use their guns and muskets to shoot open the cans. And there was a lot of problems back then because they would make the cans too big, and so they couldn't cook the middle, so there was botulism, and there was problems with, you know, spoiled middle and the outside was good. And so eventually, through sort of, I don't know, his brilliance, Hormel, he came back during World War II and said basically, like, we put it in this smaller size, you cook it for 3 hours, you get a top that you can open. It's a way of preserving the meat, a pasteurization that keeps it shelf stable. And that was really like revolutionary, and kind of in 1937 was the start of this sort of processed meat. And for him too, it was at the time, like in World War One, and when he was serving in World War One, they were shipping meat with bone in it. They would ship the cow, or they'd ship the pork, and it would have bones in it. That's not very efficient for weight. It's not very efficient because there's a lot of scrap pieces left over. So he said, look, if we take the bones out, if we grind it up, if we put it in a smaller can, we pasteurize it, it'll ship. And in 1937, that was kind of the start of Spam was born. So what was fascinating in 1937, then he helped revolutionize, you know, World War II was just on the verge of starting up. It was kind of, Spam was sprinkling in. It wasn't as ubiquitous as it is today, or it wasn't quite as popular. But quickly, you know, the military recognized the advantage of it. And so they started shipping it to all the military overseas. And what's fascinating is I think that's kind of where the reputation of Spam started and was solidified. You had, you know, people on these bases in Guam and, you know, around the world, and they're getting fed Spam constantly because it was kind of such an easy food to send. But also what happened is the government had them overcook it, essentially, for safety. Like, they wanted, instead of just cooking it for 3 hours, they cook it for five, and that kind of mushed the meat. So they're getting fed this lesser quality processed meat around the world. And then because the idea, and because during the war, they needed as much protein sent over as possible, other manufacturers were doing it in sizes that weren't as reliable. So you'd get 12-pound sizes and 6-pound sizes. And that flexing up of different quality standards and of different processing and of different cooking, you kind of ended up with a perfect storm of these soldiers that were stationed around the world, getting overfed something they were tired of eating, getting mixed quality, getting bad quality. And then, you know, in a perfect marketing storm, then they were all sent home to spread the word. And so that's how we ended up with Spam so popular in Guam and Spam so popular in Hawaii. But also, I think what started the bad name and reputation for Spam was because it was such a mixed bag. And so, you know, here we are 80 years later, and it still kind of has that reputation of being something that's like weird or strange animal parts or gross, which is really interesting and unfortunate, because at the end of the day, Spam is actually a really good cuts of meat. Like, it's really just ham, pork shoulder, salt, water, and a little sodium nitrate. And sodium nitrate is found in any processed meat. It just keeps it safe. But it's the better cuts of meat. The byproducts that you don't use go into hot dogs and sausages. Like, that's the real, like, if you'll eat a hot dog or a sausage, you should really have no problem with Spam, because it's actually better cuts and quality of meat. And for years, it got the reputation of, like, the gel, right? Like, that's one of the first things people, and a little bit less so now, but, like, people are always like, ooh, it's got the gross gel on the outside, and it makes that funny noise. And what's interesting is that's pure protein. That's actually not that bad for you, and it's a byproduct of the cooking process. Protein goes towards heat. If you're pasteurizing meat in a can, the heat draws the protein out. It stays there. But then people open it up, and it looks gross and looks like, you know, petroleum jelly or whatever. So back in 2001, they ground up a little bit of potato starch, stuck that in there. The potato starch traps the protein, and you don't have any gel anymore. So since 2001, they've got rid of the gel, which has helped with the reputation of it.
And you're listening to Dustin Black tell the story of Spam. And I'm a big hot dog lover. I also love liverwurst and bologna, so of course I can eat Spam. When we come back, more of the incredible story of Spam with someone who knows a lot about it and wrote the Book of Spam. We continue with Dustin Black's story about this inimitable American product here on Our American Story. Folks, if you love the great American stories we tell and love America like we do, we're asking you to become a part of the Our American Stories family. If you agree that America is a good and great country, please make a donation. A monthly gift of $17.76 is fast becoming a favorite option for supporters. Go to OurAmericanStories.com now and go to the donate button and help us keep the great American stories coming. That's OurAmericanStories.com.
Passing the ball is fun. The Frito-Lay Pass the Ball Challenge is more fun. Frito-Lay, the official USA snack of the FIFA World Cup 2022, is giving you the chance to win custom soccer swag and amazing prizes by joining their Pass the Ball Challenge. To enter, just scan the QR code on specially marked bags of Lay's, Cheetos, and Doritos and look for the Golden World Soccer Ball. Explore the ever-growing community and even find friends on the ball. Then pass the ball to fellow soccer fans and play daily games for a chance to score custom swag like limited edition jerseys, duffel bags, scarves, and balls. Grab a specially marked bag of Lay's, Cheetos, or Doritos, or visit FritoLayScore.com now to join the Pass the Ball Challenge, and you can win amazing Frito-Lay prizes. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 USDC. 18 plus. See rules at FritoLayScore.com.
Our 2022 iHeartRadio Jingle Ball, presented by Capital One.
Y'all ready to have some fun?
Starring Dua Lipa,
Lizzo,
Charlie Puth,
The Backstreet Boys,
The Kid LAROI,
AJR,
and more.
The biggest holiday party of the year.
Jingle Ball!
Our iHeartRadio Jingle Ball. Coming live from New York to the CW app and CWTV.com on December 9th.
This is DJ EFN. The Black Effect Podcast Network is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Life can get overwhelming for all of us. For many people, it's not easy to open up to someone and discuss our vulnerabilities. But not long ago, I found myself in a place where I needed someone to talk to. I'm a relatively new father with two very young children in the home, and although I always wanted kids, I waited because I was wanting to be as stable as possible in my life, both mentally and financially. What I learned, it's never the right time because life doesn't work that way. And the pressure I felt and feel wanting to be the father I never had is a heavy weight at times to bear. Compound that with the career and lifestyle that goes with my career, I find myself in dual worlds that often don't mesh. Nothing comes easy and every day is a work in progress. But as long as you're working on yourself, you're moving in the right direction. BetterHelp is secure online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with a licensed professional therapist. When you sign up, you can filter results by age, gender, cultural background, and expertise. BetterHelp strives to meet their clients where they need them. For those not ready for traditional therapy, there are support groups available to join for community. Therapy can be done from anywhere, and you can also switch therapists as much as you want. The Black Effect Podcast Network is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Visit BetterHelp.com/Black Effect and join over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/Black Effect. That's BetterHelp.com/Black Effect.
And we return to Our American Stories and the story of Spam. Yes, the canned meat. We've been listening to Dustin Black, author of The Book of Spam, a most glorious and definitive compendium of the world's favorite canned meat. And he's telling the story of the creation of Spam. During World War II, Hormel realized that there was a great need for shelf-stable meats to be sent to our troops. And thus, Spam was created. We left off with Dustin talking about people's hesitation with buying the canned meat product. Let's return to Dustin Black.
But I still think people have trouble thinking about buying meat off a shelf. But, you know, it's a state of mind because there's so many, you know, cans of soup, you know, have meat in it. And, there's plenty of examples of shelf stable. And it all just goes back to that pasteurization, back to that idea of, you know, 200, 300 year old technology of if you cook it and kill everything and don't let any air and bacteria in there, it's shelf stable for a long amount of time. And Hormel's actually continued, and I think they don't get the credit they deserve for you know, revolutionizing a lot of the packaging processes they do. A lot of their lunch meats are now high pressure pasteurized, and that kills, it basically squishes all the bad stuff in there. And so it can be all natural without having to add a lot of extra preservatives, but they do it through a pressure and a technology, you know, like just shelf technology, which is really interesting. The book, we go through a lot of different chapters of how it's made, the origins of Spam, the origins of processed meat, It goes through the Spam Museum. It goes through the Spam Mobile that used to travel around the country giving out samples. But throughout there, we weave in a lot of photos from people that get sent into Hormel. That was one of the more interesting parts about working on the ads, as we had access to their archive and to the people down there that were getting the fan mail. And, you know, you would have people that would send in the fan art. They would make costumes out of Spam cans. They would do weddings with a Spam themed, you know, cake. From around the world, you get people that would send in, you know, just their rooms that are painted like Spam, or their car is Spam painted. And it's just, you know, it's had such, for such a long time, a devoted fan base. I mean, whether you love or hate Spam, you know, you kind of have a story, or you kind of know about it and have an affinity. You know, it's a brand that I think you sort of have to unabashedly love. You know, I know that there's a bit of a stigma out there with it. So if you're a Spam fan and you're proud to wear a shirt, you sort of take that as a, you know, a badge of honor, that you're someone that thinks differently. You're someone that is not scared to go against the grain. And, you know, you have your tastes and you're not scared to share it. You know, in Korea, it for a while was used as a wedding gift. It was an acceptable wedding gift because it was sort of something of such great esteem and honor. It's that universal sort of story device that I think was most interesting. You know, for years with the advertising, we had the tagline, we did Crazy Tasty. It's not around anymore, but I really loved it when we did it because it was all, to me, it walked that line. Someone who loves it thinks, yeah, it is crazy tasty. Like I really, you know, I can put it in between two slices of bread. I can cook it with eggs or put it, you know, in my Spam sushi and it's amazing, it's tasty. And then the people that didn't like it or didn't get it kind of related to the crazy part. Like, it's crazy tasty. Like, and the crazy was like, I don't get it, but it's kind of fun and it's weird. And I see people, you know, wear a shirt and I can strike up a conversation. So we kind of walk the line with that. But at the end of the day, like, it's, you know, when it's prepared and cooked properly, like it's really good. And I think we're starting to see a resurgence of that. There's a lot of fancy restaurants that are using it as an addition to a protein option. And, you know, we've seen food trucks pop up with it. It kind of has a bit of a resurgence in that sort of way that like PBR has a resurgence. You know, it's that nostalgic sort of brand that people love and kind of has a familiarity to them. So yeah, you can see it on a lot of menus. And you look at like French cuisine, you go to a really fancy French restaurant and you're going to get served pork roulettes. But essentially, it's a fancy French version of Spam. It's the same thing. They grind it up, you know, they put it into a can, or, you know, often into a dish, cook it, slice it, and serve it. And it's exactly like what Spam is. It's just, you know, not pasteurized for as long. It's a classic brand that's been around for 80, 90 years. And it's gone through all the same phases that advertising has gone through. So it came back, was, you know, the sort of solution to dinner time problems. So for a really long time, that was the sort of like, let me show you different ways to cook it. Let me give you recipe ideas. You know, I love the classic 60s casserole recipes and things like that, where it's like Spam Jello and, you know, just things that like probably shouldn't have ever seen the light of day. So it went through that phase. You know, they did some soap opera and sort of that like detergent soap sort of like sponsorships. And in the 80s, it was all about, you know, helping solve dinner. You know, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? It's a Spam night. And they went then through a phase of the sort of Spam-a-lot, where they kind of leaned into the can nature of it, where they had that little character that kind of popped up. He was on the cans and he gave you recipe ideas and told you to, you know, don't forget Spam. Pre-2001, there was a lot of hacks or sort of urban wives tales around like what to do with the gel. So use it on a squeaky hinge. You know, you could use it to buff a table, like all sorts of things like that. You know, and then I think there's a whole culture and art around the cans. You know, they're these nice little tin cans. You can use them for painting or pot, you know, put some flowers in them or something like that. And so there's kind of a whole art collective around what happens with the cans. And now I, from what I see, they're in kind of a classic mode. It's been through all the phases of food advertising, from, you know, weird ads you probably shouldn't have seen the light of day, to sponsorships, to, you know, thousands of products you can buy today with, you know, if you need Spam keychains or Spam flip-flops, you know, they got you covered. I mean, because everybody's got a connection to it. Like, you would get on the phone with someone in Korea and they would talk about, you know, getting it as a wedding gift, or you'd get on the phone and they'd talk about making it as a kid, or, you know, how much they loved eating it in college. And it's one of those brands that just sparks, you know, and I think it's because of its lore in pop culture, right? Back in the 70s when Monty Python did the spam, 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 like, that continued to ratchet up the lore. And it, you know, now we call, you know, email, junk email, spam email. And that kind of comes a little bit off of the Monty Python. And Jim Henson had a spammy character in some of the movies and saw spam a lot. Eric Idle came out with the version of the Holy Grail that went to Broadway, which was brilliant. It was a lot of fun, but he recognized the value of the spam brand. And at the time, you know, Hormel recognized the value in branded content. They partnered with Eric Idle and they had Spamalot, and it toured the globe and was very, very successful and a lot of fun. For years, they had the Spammobile that toured. You know, they gave out, I think, 1.7 million samples in 2007 or something like that. And there was five of them, and they would go around and you'd get lines two blocks long and people could get a little sample of Spam. Because it's one of those things that, like, if it's cooked properly, it's really good. Like, you don't take hamburger and just like, hey, let me cook hamburger and just give you a spoonful of hamburger. Like, that would be weird. But like, that's what people often think about or do with spam. They're like, here, put a fork in it and try it. And it's like, no, it's not right. Like, grill it. You're gonna get the Juilliard effect and get some nice caramelization, and you're gonna put it between two buns or put it between two slices of bread, and it's really good. You know, you put it with some pineapple and rice and it's really tasty, or put it with some mashed potatoes. Like, that, you know, you just have to prepare it properly. And I think that's why we're seeing a resurgence in food trucks and in some sort of boutique sort of restaurants, because the chefs realize it's, you know, it's easy. They can get a lot of it and store it and have it, ready right there. But you grill it up or cook it properly and it makes a dish really tasty. I mean, next time you're in the store, pick up, you know, a 12-ounce can, or, you know, they do singles now, a 3-ounce, which is a little bit easier to get into. You don't have to, you know, have the commitment of a 12-ounce can, and you can get a little slice. And try it. Like, you know, grill it up, put it between two pieces of bread, or, you know, put it in some with some buns and some American cheese, and have yourself a tasty little sandwich. Because, you know, it's you either had it, you know it's good, or you are scared of it, and you get over it and try it.
And great job on that piece, as always, by Faith. And a special thanks to Dustin Black. The story of Spam here on Our American Story.
iHeartRadio Jingle Ball, presented by Capital One.
Y'all ready to have some fun?
Starring Dua Lipa,
Lizzo,
Charlie Puth,
The Backstreet Boys,
The Kid LAROI,
AJR,
and more. You know what time
it is. The biggest holiday party of the year.
Jingle Ball!
Our iHeartRadio Jingle Ball, coming live from New York to the CW app and CWTV.com on December 9th.
Everything is more expensive these days. With inflation rising, Medicare beneficiaries living on a fixed income are concerned about increasing costs. Make your Medicare dollars go further by picking the right plan. Start by looking for a plan that gives you more. For example, many Medicare Advantage plans include dental, vision, and hearing benefits, while Original Medicare doesn't. Learn more about plan costs beyond premiums, such as deductibles, copays, and drug coverage. Find that right plan for you. Visit UHCMedicareHealthPlans.com.
Amazon's got the best deals on Black Friday. Oh, the best deals are on Cyber Monday. Friday comes first when it comes to saving. Monday's worth the wait for what you've been craving. Deals so good it'll feel like stealing. Real cool message, could you make it less appealing? What's with the beef? You can get that too. Why'd you call us? What's triggering you? Whichever day you're shopping on, you'll save a bunch at Amazon on Black Friday, Cyber Monday too.